We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we were talking about it this morning, and you wrote about it in the Tribune this morning, that really everything kind of went against the Bears yesterday. As good as everyone was feeling coming out of Thursday, you need a little help, and you certainly didn't get it from the likes of the Lions or the Washington Redskins, and even with the Rams winning,
Rams,
they're ahead of you, you know. So that is not, they're not in the playoffs, but they're ahead of you. So not a good deal.
Yeah, well, it shows what you get when you count on the Lions and the Redskins to take care of business for you. That leaves you in a bit of a tough spot. And yeah, with the Rams kind of looking a little bit like the team from a year ago last night. An impressive win for them. So the Bears have got their work cut out for them. Number one, they've got to go to Green Bay and get a victory this week. They should have confidence that they can play well against this Packers team. They held that Green Bay offense to 10 points back in the opener. Of course, their offense did less, but they played well when they went to Lambeau Field for the season opener a year ago. I think they feel like they can hang in there with the Packers. So the number one thing is they've got to get a win there. Then the Vikings have to go out to play the Chargers, who played well for probably the first time in a while yesterday, beating a badly spiraling Jacksonville team. So you say, well, what are the Vikings' chances? I think they're a little bit different team away from the Dome. They're 6-0 in Minnesota this year at home. So they're a little bit different team on the road. And then if you look back in history, I did this yesterday, the Vikings going out to the Pacific time zone, not real good, guys. 1-8 or 1-7 in their last 8 or 9 trips to the West Coast to play a game. So the Bears are looking at the scoreboard, and the Vikings have got to lose here soon to really give the Bears a boost, but number one thing they've got to do is take care of their own business.
Yeah, Brad, as they get back to work today, is it a silly question to wonder from the Bears' perspective which Aaron should be concern them the most on Sunday? Aaron Rodgers, because of what he does historically against everybody, including the Bears, or Aaron Jones, who had a big day yesterday and is putting together a pretty nice season?
Yeah, and that's something you recall back to the opener between those two teams, and he didn't do as much. So, yeah, listen, it's Aaron Rodgers, though. Come on. I mean, the guy has found a way to perform surgery on the Bears in the fourth quarter and really all quarters throughout his career. But that gives them that 1-2 punch that can be problematic. Now, the Cowboys had that 1-2 punch with Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, and Elliott had the one long run, you know, 31, 32 yards, I think it was, on Thursday. But other than that, they did a pretty nice job containing him. So that'll be interesting, because if Aaron Jones gets going a little bit, that's going to create all sorts of options for Rodgers, no question about that.
What does Akeem Hicks mean to this team? What does his return mean, and how will that be balanced by Roquan missing time?
Yeah, that's a boy. When you talk about balancing that, that's a tough one because you've got one guy that flies around and makes plays, and you got another guy that's disruptive and can allow the people behind him to fly around and make plays. Ultimately, is it a wash? I don't know about that. But if Hicks gets promoted and the expectation is that will be the case, I think the first question you're going to have is where is the stamina? How much is he going to be able to give them in terms of snaps when he's rolling? We've seen it in the past. I mean, he's a guy that was playing 85% of the snaps on defense. I don't think they'll get back to that point. I think they'll be pretty happy if they could get into 75% before the end of this season. But we'll have to see where he's at for the first time out. But that should really help everyone around him. Maybe Leonard Floyd, a guy who looks like an all-pro player when he plays the Green Bay Packers. I mean, over the course of his career, Floyd's had his best games against Green Bay.
Brad, is it possible, likely or unlikely, that Mitch Trubisky can do something in the final three games, I guess to continue what he's done in the last three games, to change the Bears' minds or to close the door on the possibility that they would bring in a veteran quarterback in the offseason?
Boy. I mean, so you're talking about the Bears, you know, because I think the...
Can he play well enough to where they say after the Vikings game, say, okay, we're not going to go after Andy Dalton. We're going to shut the door on Derek Carr. We're not going to consider those possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, right now, they're making this decision, not Joe Public. Okay, they're making this decision, I'd say likely. Joe Public making the decision, I'd say possibly. Mitch was fantastic against Dallas in every aspect, okay? That doesn't erase what happened in the previous 12 games. And the idea that he's played, you know, I'll give him playing well in the game before that. I didn't think he played particularly well against the Giants. You know, we're talking about him playing well for three games in a row. They beat the Giants. They had two touchdown drives. One of them was 3 yards. Against the Giants. I mean, the Giants are terrible. So I'm not buying into that one a whole lot. But he was fantastic against the Cowboys. Deserves all the credit for that. The entire offense was played really well. The offensive line deserves a lot of credit. You know, it was a big group effort. It's going to be fascinating to see how Mitch Trubisky performs in the final three games. But one Thursday night game against Dallas, to me, doesn't eliminate what happened in the previous 12 weeks, where you had, you know, a little bit of injury time that he missed, and then some games that were not of the standard that you'd want to see in 2020.
The Bears, obviously, every game is an elimination game at this point as you look at this. But the fact is they may end up with 10 wins and still be eliminated. It's there's a lot of work to be done here at the end of the year, and they really do need a break. And when you start, you know, talking about that, we have texters checking in saying, well, maybe this team won't be playing somebody, or maybe this team won't be playing someone. The problem is that everybody's kind of positioning for a possibility of getting a bye. I mean, certainly.
Green Bay and Minnesota, yeah.
Yes, and even the Chiefs. If you talk about the Chiefs, you know, they're with New England suddenly vulnerable, that makes life easier for the Chiefs, maybe.
Right, to get a bye, because we know that the Super Bowl winner for a while now, guys, has not played on Wild Card Weekend. So what's the first thing you have to do if you want to have a chance to have the trophy? You got to make the playoffs. What's the next thing you really have to do? Again, this is over a stretch of time now. I think it's been the last 5-6 years. You've got to get a first-round bye. You've got to avoid playing on Wild Card Weekend. So there's huge motivation to get one of the top two seeds. And yeah, I don't see the Bears encountering a game here where, you know, magically a handful of outstanding players on the other roster are going to be on the sideline. They're going to have to go out and do it against the other team's best. Now, they've won four of their last five. They've got some momentum. I'm not going to put anything past them, but I think they opened up, and I thought the number was high yesterday, guys. I believe they opened as a 7-point underdog up at Lambeau Field. That may have moved down since.
It's dropped to five, according to Joe O, our guy.
Okay, yeah. So it, yeah, that's a pretty good drop overnight, but that kind of tells you what they think in Vegas anyway.
Brad, yesterday Adrian Amos had his first interception since the week one game against the Bears. When we see the Packers playing the Bears, obviously you want to compare HaHa Clinton Dix versus Amos. They kind of swap teams and trade of safeties. What do you think about the year he's having compared to the year that HaHa Clinton Dix is having?
Well, I think that Clinton Dix is giving him better value for the money. I think he's been... HaHa's been a little bit more, or a lot more, sound on the back end than I thought he would be. You know, talking to some people from around the league, they thought he was going to take some poor angles. You'd see him miss some tackles, and he's been steady. He hasn't been spectacular for them. You know, you saw Amos over the course of his career, and the Bears, you know, were always a little hesitant to really want to pay that long term. I don't know that I'd want to pay what I've seen from HaHa Clinton Dix long term either. But the Bears have certainly, in my opinion, and I haven't seen every Packers game, but in my opinion, from what I have seen of HaHa versus the action I've seen for Amos in Green Bay, I think HaHa's been a better value buy for the Bears defense.
All right, Big Z, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, football man for the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, Amos wasn't going to be a guy making a lot of plays on the ball, but I was surprised yesterday that was his first interception since week one.
312-644-6767. Yeah, he looked like he was gangbusters against the Bears, and then that was...
But, it's like, oh, I told you
but,
so.
Yeah, but he doesn't actually, if you really look at it, even when he was here... He was a guy that started a ton but didn't make a ton of
plays. He blends in well.
Don't tell that to Pro Football Focus. They
just swoon for him, if you can numerically swoon. Mully and on the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Number one, it's not easy. The human element of going through what he's gone through. But you're seeing right now a kid that is playing with conviction. He's playing with a lot of determination. He's playing with a lot of trust. Guys are trusting him, and we're winning. So you get confidence. All that said, no one's satisfied. And I think that's what's powerful in all this thing is that we know there's more, and that's why we're still hungry.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is Matt Nagy. And he is the man with a plan.
He's
the
hungry.
Plan is
they
to
should
keep
be.
Winning and never lose and to somehow translate that into a playoff appearance.
So let me ask you this. So ask Brad this. Can Mitch do anything in the next 3 weeks that you think will change the mind of the Bears if they're still undecided about what direction to go in the offseason? Can he do something to change the mind of the Bears fan base who, you know...
I think if Mitch plays the way he played last week, if he can repeat that, and I really seriously wonder if he can, but if he can repeat that against two good defenses, the two that are in the division, and in between a mediocre defense, even if they played okay against Tom Brady and company, I think Father Time might be having his way with Tom. I think
looking that way,
he looked pretty beaten up,
right.
And he was on the injury report with two different injuries, so. But if Mitch can continue in the way that he's played against Dallas, then I suspect, David, that they do not want to replace him because it is a complicated, difficult task. So I suspect that at least the general manager, if not the head coach, is cheering for the quarterback to do well.
Cheering? I think cheering they're on their knees praying in that chapel at Harris Hall. I think that they
How
are.
How about the chapel? Did you see that?
That was a great story by Dan Pompey.
Wrote a story. They have a chapel now.
Yeah, they do.
The old quarterback's room. I've been in that room, and now it's a chapel. I'd like to go to the chapel.
A lot of unanswered prayers in that quarterback's room.
It's pretty wild.
But when you look at
it, beautiful, by the way.
It looks great. Yeah. I mean, they did it right. And Dan did a great job with that story. But I think that when you say hoping, absolutely, you know how much easier it is to plot your offseason and to plan for the future when you have your quarterback question somewhat answered. And no first-round pick, because that's the other element of this. If you had a first-round pick, you might look at this a little bit differently. You might look at the landscape of the draft class that's coming out and think, wow, you know, if Jacob Fromm comes out, where would he land would he be there? Oh, what about Herbert, the guy from Oregon? What about, you know, Jalen Hurts?
I didn't think much of Herbert.
Well, I know you didn't, but you know what I'm talking about.
And I'm not in love with Jalen Hurts.
Well, me either.
And I think the only guy that I saw is Joe Burrow with the...
he's going to be gone,
well,
whoever has
saying,
the number one pick.
If Tua somehow fell, which... I guess Tua's got a decision to make, and he wants to know if he's going in the first round, if he's going to be a top 10 pick, even with the injury.
Top 10?
That's what I read.
I don't believe top 10. You could talk me into believing that somebody in the first round would take a chance on him because of the investment long term. But top 10, you need a more.
There are 32 teams in the league.
Yeah.
Top 16?
No.
No?
Bottom half of the first round, I would think, would be conservative. And that even sounds to me like it could be a potential risk. But when you look at Jalen Hurts the other day, for instance, I mean, you have people that if it's so bad with your Bears, you know, perspective that you are longing for a guy that could be as inconsistent as he looked in the first half against Baylor.
Right.
That to me is a worst case scenario. What the best case scenario for the Bears is that Mitch does something in the final 3 weeks that continues this so-called momentum. And leaves you at a point where you're thinking, well, maybe we don't need a veteran to challenge him as much as we need a guy to provide security in case he gets hurt. And you think that he shows you enough to say, we can win with this guy.
Because yeah, I mean, that would be ideal. Here's the thing. They are playing the Chiefs. So Patrick Mahomes is coming to Chicago. And that is always not a happy moment, is it? The what might have been quarterback and the former MVP of the league and the guy that Kansas City has
MVP Mitchell
built all their hopes and dreams around. And I wonder, David, is there a Patrick Mahomes in this draft? Because we're sitting here talking about the quarterbacks that are in the Final Four. We're talking about the quarterbacks that that we saw play over the weekend. But Patrick Mahomes may have kind of snuck up on some people before that draft. And it seems as if guys like Sean Payton and Andy Reid and, you know, Belichick all preferred Mahomes to other quarterbacks. But guys like Ryan Pace and some of the draftniks thought that Mitchell Trubisky was the guy.
Yeah, I think because, again, when Mahomes came out, he was highly accomplished from playing a lot of football. He was unorthodox because of some of his mechanics and the offense that he played in. He was athletic, but sort of, you know, he was not one of these guys that you looked at as being the prototype quarterback, which I think worked against him in some of the evaluations. We talked about Joe Burrow. He's going to be the number one overall pick. And I think that Mitch was his number two overall pick. Burrow has had a lot more success at LSU than Mitch had at North Carolina. But when Ryan Pace watched Mitch Trubisky, he saw everything that Joe Burrow had to offer. An athletic quarterback that can run and who was accurate and could beat you with his arm as well. Now, I'm not comparing, I'm not saying that, you know, that Mitch was that good in college, as some texter said earlier. But that was the ideal. That was the model. That was what they followed. Is there anybody out there now that resembles Mahomes? Boy, I don't.
Well, I just think.
I don't think so.
I think the process takes a while to get going. First, you got to find out who's coming out. Then you got to find out how healthy they are. You know, we talk about Tua. You got to look at those medicals. You got to get a better understanding of what happens at the combine and then the combine recheck. I imagine if he's coming out, you're going to need all sorts of information on how significant an injury that is and what are the possibilities, both pro and con.
Don't you think that's a huge risk for the team that takes Tua?
I got to know more about the injury, David. If you feel like that hip injury is a risk, then obviously you're going to hesitate.
I think it's a team with a quarterback, a starting quarterback that would take him because it would give him time to heal and develop.
I think if he can be as good as you think he could be, then I think you take him even if you don't have one. If you need one, then he could be the guy. Then you could sign a free agent and try to get through a year or two. I mean, I would say at the very least you need to get a full year off to determine what you have with him.
Is it a done deal in your mind if he's making the decision whether or not to come back, that there would be value in coming back to Alabama? Because
if it were me, if I were him, I would come out. And I would. I told you, I think that the great thing about the position he's in is that he doesn't have to go to Cincinnati. If he comes out, he doesn't have to go to Miami. He doesn't have to go to one of these teams that is struggling and rebuilding. He gets to go to probably a significantly better team, and he gets to kind of work his way
like Lamar Jackson
into it. I mean, that's exactly isn't that what you want?
Yes.
And let me ask you this. David used the term prototype to talk about quarterbacks. Has the prototype changed with Mahomes and with Lamar Jackson? And again, we got to see how healthy these guys are and how they stay that way. But has the prototype shifted?
Interesting question. Also, Jacob Eason of Washington is a guy that has, one texter points out, has had some comparisons to Mahomes. I don't know about that, but we can ask Olin Krutz about it next.
You should ask someone who knows something about Washington.
And wears a purple jacket on television.
Olin Krutz.
I'm going to tell you right now, I was at the game. I got to sit in the end zone, and I got to watch a lot of Hicks and Matt. And those two guys together, I'm going to tell you right now, Kat, I would not want to face those two animals.
Olin Krutz.
Kat, we were watching and we were like, man, that is a tough defense to come in off the bench and face. It's turning out to be maybe the best pass rush in the whole NFL right now.
Olin Krutz.
If the offense ever does catch the defense, well, then we're going to be doing a Super Bowl show maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll come along, Kat. I think they will get better. How good, how quickly, that's anybody's guess.
Olin Krutz. Every week with Mully and Hall. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Hall.
The
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tis the season to be blessed with Olin Krutz. Oh, what a marvelous and glorious time of year. And Olin joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Olin, good morning.
Morning, Olin.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Well, it could have gone better. I mean, every score as it was going on, every game as it ended, kind of went against the Bears.
You just look at it before, right, and you're watching Blau, and he's got to go to Minnesota in the dome versus Zimmer and that defense, and you don't feel real good about it. So you're just hoping as hard as you can hope that something happens. But about what you expected to happen in Minnesota happened with a young rookie quarterback, right? And then the Rams, that offense, kind of came out of nowhere, I would imagine, and Bobby Wagner for the Seahawks, who's a great middle linebacker, had a rough game, but nothing really happened for the Bears yesterday, so they just got to keep winning and worrying about themselves.
Olin, as a former player, when you watch the NFL, and I know you watch a lot of football, you watch a lot of college football as well, but when you watch the league, what impresses or disappoints you the most from your perspective?
What impressed me yesterday watching the league is a lot of good football going on, right, with Baltimore and Buffalo playing a fist fight kind of game where they're just, I mean, it's just who's the toughest team is going to win that day, right? And then you go to the San Francisco versus New Orleans game, and San Fran goes out to New Orleans in the Superdome, and, man, that's a hard place to put up 48 points. And I know New Orleans was missing two of their middle linebackers, but still – a very impressive victory out there, and then Kansas City beats New England, and it's just this year's playoffs is going to be fun to watch is what hit me the most yesterday, wondering how far Lamar Jackson can take the Baltimore Ravens, how far, you know, Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers can go, because they're a very good football team that can win anywhere, but I think they're going to have home field advantage anyway. And if you ask me what disappoints you the most is just, you know, As an old football player, and they have to do this, it's just the way the game is officiated nowadays and how many rules there are and how many penalties and how many flags are on the ground and how much they meet and go over every call. But that's just kind of where the NFL has gone, and I think we just got to get used to it.
Well, I mean, as I watched that New England game, that the officiating and some of the bad calls – really affected that result, and certainly it affected New England. And you look at Kansas City as another team that the Bears, you know, would be great if Kansas City didn't have to win in that game in Chicago, if the Bears can go up to Green Bay and win. And now they're probably in striking distance of a bye, so they got something to play for because they won that game. And there was a call in that game that, unfortunately, New England was out of challenges at the end of that game.
Right, and the Bears just have a really tough schedule when you look at it, right? They got Green Bay this week who's playing to seal the division, and then they got the Chiefs, and then they got to go play the Vikings up in the Superdome. So just a real tough road when you look at it, what the teams the Bears are going to play are playing for. But as far as the officiating, I mean, I think you can see that in every game, right? And these officials, they take a lot of heat, but – gosh, they've got so many rules and so many things to enforce, and the league has put so much on them that you got to see eventually if the league wants the game officiated like that, these officials are probably going to have to be full-time at some point.
Olin, in the final three games, do you think that the Bears are hoping to see something out of Mitch Trubisky they haven't seen yet? And that, I mean, will anything that happens down the stretch here affect their thinking as they go into the offseason as it regards the quarterback position?
Of course, they want to see Mr. Trubisky continue to develop, and I think it kind of started at the. We talked about it before. It started after the Giants game when he challenged himself and his offensive teammates. They said, "That's enough. Enough's enough. Enough with the mistakes. Enough with the communication issues. We have to play better. Enough with the penalties." I mean, just looking back at that Week 1 game against the Packers. The Bears' identity, what they were going to be on offense, was right on the field for you there in Week 1, and you kept hoping they were going to come out of it, and it started with the T formation toss fumble to Tariq Cohen, and it went to a, you know, at one point in that game, they were in a first and 40, I think, with penalties, and then he threw an interception down there to Adrian Amos, when he was trying to hit Allen Robinson in the corner of the end zone. So we get all the way fast forward to the Giants game, and he challenges the offense and you know his team and takes a little bit of ownership and says, look, I want to run no huddle. I want to get out of the pocket more. I want to run more play action. And they've started to do that and look a little bit better. But a huge challenge this week with Pettis' defense. You know, the Packers are plus 11 in turnover differential and just present the problems that you're going to be able to see how far along Mitch Trubisky is now, because with Pettis lining up guys all over the place, especially on third down, making communication a problem on the road, silent count, a bunch of different looks. Mitch is going to have to communicate, get his guys on the right guys, get everything organized, and we'll see how far along this offense has come, because like we talked about last week, or Friday, I think we talked about, one thing about Marinelli's defense is you pretty much know where they're going to line up and you pretty much know who you've got. So big challenge this week, a little bit different, but yes, you keep watching Mitch and you keep watching to see if he's developed, especially with all the injuries they got out. And especially since if you're up in that office at Halas Hall, you're thinking, look, he challenged his teammates and he's taking a big leadership role and getting his offense back on track. So let's keep watching him and keep seeing if he's improving.
Olin Akeem Hicks comes back, and obviously he's a huge part of this thing, and he's expected to play at Green Bay. But what kind of condition is he in? I mean, how, you know, there's no practice, so you're not in football condition, but you've had a lot of time off, so I would imagine all the bumps and bruises have healed a little bit. What happens to a player? What's it like for a player coming back this late in the season?
It's not easy, and especially you wonder about the strength in his arm and what percent it's actually at. But just I think his personality, you know, the way he fights on the football field, the way he gets his teammates going, they love having him around whenever you hear them talk about Akeem Hicks, his toughness that he brings, willing to get in there and get in the fight to stop the Green Bay Packers. And maybe you suit up an extra D lineman, because you think if Akeem Hicks came back, Brent Urban, who's played pretty well, guys, since they signed him, a really good two-gapper, stacks and sheds the offensive lineman really, really well. Maybe you keep one more defensive lineman up so Akeem doesn't have to play his usual 85 to 90% of the plays. Now, where that affects you on special teams and who you would keep down, the Bears would have to look at. But he's going to give this team a boost, just him being there. You know, Akeem Hicks, if I'm walking down the tunnel and walking past a few Packers and Akeem Hicks is next to me, I might be saying a little more than I usually say by myself, you know. So I might have a few words of encouragement for the Packers, knowing that Akeem Hicks has got my back. So he's got a little more confident when he's out there on the field, and I think he's going to give them a big boost coming back. Just energy, just willing to fight and just be there with his teammates.
Oh, and the first time the Bears played the Packers, Tremone Williams said that they wanted to make Mitch play quarterback, and they did, and it worked effectively. So if you are the Bears getting ready to get back to practice this week and preparing a game plan, how do you counter that? I guess in the simplest way, I mean, how do you prepare a game plan that now takes advantage of what you've seen from Mitch in the way that he's used his legs to make this offense more dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, first things first is you try to run the ball a different matchup, right? A different matchup versus the Packers. Their D linemen are a little bigger, not a little, they're a lot bigger and a lot stronger than the Dallas Cowboys. Kenny Clark has always been a tough matchup for Cody Whitehair, so he's got a big job this week. But you run the ball, you force the pocket, you force changing the launch point. You know, that first game, well, really the first half of the season, Coach Nagy just kept Mitch in that pocket, try to make him play quarterback from the pocket is what Tremont Williams is saying, right? But, you know, the first third down of the year against the Packers, actually Mitch scrambles for a first down. So get Mitch running a little bit. He had 63 yards against the Cowboys. Tell him to keep a zone read, even though the DN doesn't trigger, even though it doesn't give you the read. Keep one and try to outrun Preston and Za'Darius Smith. They're two DNs who have 10 sacks each, very good players. So just the things you've been seeing, David, that they've been doing the last couple of weeks where they move the pocket, you play action, you get sprints out there, get Mitch a little more comfortable, because If you keep them in that pocket, the identification on the road with the crowd noise, Packers, Bears, right? They're going to be going crazy up there. So they try to give you identification problems, walk guys all around, line guys up as linebackers, line cornerbacks up, bring cornerbacks off the edge. You guys probably remember Blake Martinez coming free for his sack against the Chicago Bears in the first game. So move the pocket, run the ball, even though maybe you're not having a lot of success. Be stubborn with it. You know, in a 10-3 game last time, they only had 11 runs. Montgomery only had 6 carries. Mike Davis had the other 5. So, you know, you got to run the ball, get Mitch moving, get some play action, and throw the ball deep just to back them up and settle down that Green Bay Packers defense.
Olin, we'll let you go. It looks like Roquan Smith's out, right? So probably for the rest of the year. So Akeem Hicks coming back. I know Trevathan, there's a chance he comes back at some point. I don't think it's this week. How does that balance your run defense, losing a guy that flies all over the place and makes a lot of tackles versus the guy up front that can stuff things?
Really, and Trevathan too, right? So yeah. So they're out a few guys. Kevin Pierre-Lewis came in, guys. Played a really, really good game against a tough run game against the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully he can continue that. Nick Kwiatkowski has been playing well. Actually, Akeem Hicks comes back, and those two guys in the middle, you're probably a little more worried about coverage against the Packers tight ends, Graham and Mercedes Lewis. So I don't know if Bilal Nichols is up and Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks, and you got Kevin Pierre-Lewis and you got Nick Kwiatkowski. I feel a little not too bad about the run game as long as Akeem Hicks is up. You worry about coverage a little more and a communication on the back end, passing things off, working together, the linebackers working together with the safeties and the cornerbacks and covering those underneath routes is kind of what I would worry about a little bit more against these Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, who would recognize 2 young linebackers in there and try his best to take advantage of them with those tight ends that they got.
Thanks, Olin.
Thanks,
appreciate
Olin.
It.
Appreciate it, guys.
Talk to you soon. That's Olin Krutz. And let me tell you something. You think that he's waiting for Akeem to talk trash to somebody?
Yeah.
I think all the pretty dangerous fellow himself.
And Sunday, come out to Chicago Q Restaurant, 1160 North Dearborn in Chicago for the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. Get ready for the Packers game with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz from 9 until kickoff, followed by a 2-hour postgame with Hub, Patrick, and James Big Cat Williams.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.